Upper Room Community Church presents Healing the Brokenhearted and Setting the Captives Free.
For to you I pray, my God and my King. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation.
Hello radio listeners, welcome once again to the broadcast Healing the Brokenhearted and Setting the Captives Free. Today we will be talking about house training. That's right, house training. And the questions for you tonight are 1. Are you house trained? And 2. If you are house trained, what are you doing with the training you have received? So don't go anywhere. As we tune into an excerpt of this message entitled, Are You House Trained? But I want us to look at the idea of how training in righteousness is necessary for unity. We all are familiar or have heard the scripture that says that all scripture is God-breathed, that it is useful or profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And that's what I want us to look at, that how training in righteousness helps us to be one, helps us to work as a team, helps us to be together. You know, I was thinking about, you know, an analogy of what's this training like. So I thought of the basketball team. We have a boom basketball team, praise the Lord. It's easy to use that analogy. But when there's basketball training and someone is missing from training, manager, coach, or captain will ask, what happened to you, man? Where have I come training? You know, you not come training last week. I'm going to see you the week before. And you know what's happening, man? I want you to listen carefully. The question is not being asked of the player to fast in them business. It is not to threaten them. The question is not designed to doubt their integrity. It is not to, you know, belittle them. When we say, boy, what happened, man? Yes, it's to ensure that everything is all right, that they weren't absent because of illness or family problems or some other legitimate reason. But the question is asked, where were you, man, training, keep, and you never come? The question is asked when a player is absent from training because it affects the unity of the players in a game. When players miss training over time, they miss out on the drills. Is that true? All right. They miss out on the drills and the moves, and it makes it difficult for the team to play together as a united team. Training makes them efficient. They know each other's move. They can read the game as a unit. Players have different roles. They have different parts to play. You have those are the forward and the shooter, and that's it all. That's all I know. But they train together, and the ultimate goal is to win a game. And they're doing their best. Each person has to do their part. You know, that's like, as we talked about. But training is important. So when the question is asked, why you ever come training? It's not to tear them down or to say, boy, I mean, no, we can't rely on that person. It's to really let them realize that their role is important. And their absence is going to create this unity in the team. So that's a training example that we kind of can identify with. But let's look at an example of training in the Bible. Genesis 14. And the background to the passage that was read, Genesis 14, 8 to 16, is what we're going to concentrate on. So Genesis 14, 11. But the background to it is that Abraham and his nephew Lot were living together, and they left where they were, and they went their separate ways. Lot, his nephew, chose to live in Sodom, and you know, Abraham chose the other plains. It so happened that there was a war going on. Four kings got together to fight against five kings, and in the fight, Lot was kidnapped. You know, they were taken captive. And when Abraham heard about it, this is where we're picking up now. So verse 11, the four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. Then they went away. They also carried off Abraham's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. One who had escaped came and reported this to Abraham the Hebrew. Now Abraham was living near the great trees of Mamre the Amorite, and a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abraham. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Now, the King James Version for that verse says, when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, and we know that it's really brother in the terms of a family expression, it's really his nephew, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them in to Dan. I want you to concentrate on that verse a little bit longer. I want to look on some of those words there. It says, when Abraham heard that Lot was taken captive, and I looked up the meaning captive. I don't like to take words at their face value. Sometimes when you look a little deeper in how it's used in the scripture, boy, it brings you a total different picture. So captive there means to transport into captivity, to lead away, to carry away. Armed. Now when it says he armed his trained servants, that it sounds logical. Armed them with knives. Give them some things to fight with. But the word armed meant to pour out, to empty, to pour forth. So to me it suggests that it's not just about being armed with weapons, but they were armed with things that Abraham had been pouring out to them in teachings, in lessons. Trained. He said he armed his trained servants. So it's pouring out, and in that pouring out, they were receiving training. And the word trained there mean initiated or practiced. It wasn't just a one-time thing. That's why you notice that training for basketball, they have training on Friday, have training on Sunday. They don't just train one time and then, yeah, sit down for 3 months waiting on a game. They were practiced. They were trained, and I'd like to say, and in training all the time. Then it says, they were born in his own house. And that word born meant child, that they were part of the family. And house meant family house. That's like what we're talking about at church here. And pursued, they pursued them unto Dan, mean to chase, put them to flight. So if you put all of that together, we could paraphrase that verse, that Abraham chose 318 men who he considered to be sons born of his household or his family, who he had poured out lessons into, and who through practice were now able to put to flight the men who had taken Lot away. Praise the Lord. Now these men did not only receive training, but they spent time putting into practice what they were taught. So when action time came, you notice they were ready. You know, it's kind of, I like to imagine a little, and I was saying, the scripture didn't say anybody said, no, you mean no, right now, or after I watch a show here, or after I get something to eat. They were ready. Once he made the call, once he says, Andre, Roshan, you know, Danny, they responded. The 318 men were ready. You know, I thought about it. Were they all ready at the same time in terms of, or did they all have the same training? Was there one who might have been a little bit more skilled than the other? Was there one who might be a little bit more ready than the other? And I think so. Because it goes on to say in verse 15, during the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them. I think that he was kind of doing some selection, saying, you know, you're good there. You know, take these persons with you. You lead charge there. You know, you're good with this. You know, you take charge here and you go around the back and you go around the side and, you know, they were able to win the battle. And it's the same thing that we were talking about last week, that in here, God has chosen persons. He has given every one of us some gift or some skill or some talent. And it's for a purpose. He has chosen the gifts for you. So when Abraham was dividing, he knew what was deposited in them. He knew what training they received. He knew what their capacity were, and he knew they were ready. So when him said, hey, you 380 men, no, they were ready. They had been trained, they had been rehearsed, they had been practiced. But the question is, what are we doing with the house training we have received? Note that Abraham did not choose anyone except those born and trained in his house, under his household, under his watch, in his family house. Why? Because he knew what they were capable of. He knew their abilities. He knew he could trust them. He knew they were reliable because of what was poured into them. I really believe that once people step through these doors, training has begun. Training has begun. But you know what? We have to enlist in the training. These 318 men. I mean, Abraham could have been doing the conducting the training session, but they had to participate. They have a role to play. Right, Sean? Don't if coach come and start, give the instructions. If nobody moves, if nobody does anything, then the training would have been in vain. So we have to do something with the training that we get. God is equipping us for action. And it is time now. So I like to challenge. I challenge myself with these. When was the last time we shared a testimony? Prayed for someone other than our friends? When was the last time we witnessed to someone? These activities are opportunities for us to be practicing, rehearsing, training, putting into practice the word that we get. We need to practice drills. Don't you do drills, Sean? It's to sustain them. It's to build them up. We need to practice drills of faith, drills of forgiveness, drills of love, drills of generosity, drills of help, drills of compassion. We need to activate the training. We can't sit down on the training, the house training. We are being trained in this house. As Pastor said earlier, we're not talking about another house. We're not talking about another church. Whatever word is delivered for those churches, for those churches. But the training and the word of God that's ministered in here is for our house training. And we have a job to do.
Well, we are out of time. But sometimes we take what has been deposited in us for granted. We go to church, we warm the church bench, as some people would say, but we do nothing with the training we receive. In fact, we don't look at it as training at all. But we are being trained in righteousness, right living. If we want to live right in this life, we need to act on the training. We need to love. We need to forgive. We need to share. We need to be kind. For those of you out there who go to school, don't waste time and skip the classes or training. If you do, you will lose out in the long run and miss God's plan for your lives. We encourage everyone to get trained, but most of all, get training in righteousness. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we exalt your name. We lift your name on high. Lord, we thank you that you have provided a way for us to get academic training, skills training. But most of all, we thank you that your word trains us in righteousness. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to the training we have received and to put in practice what we have been taught. Help us, Lord, to trust you and your word. Lead us, O God. Direct us. Help us as a people, O Lord. Help us to learn to love each other, to forgive each other, and to be obedient to you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, that you love this nation, Jamaica. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those who are lost, those who are confused, O God, those who don't know where to turn, we pray that they will turn to you, O God, that you will show them, Lord God, the way out. Hallelujah. Lord, we just exalt your name. And we thank you for hearing our cry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we just thank you for tuning into our broadcast. We continue to invite you to write to us, send in your prayer requests. In fact, for the next half an hour, the prayer lines will be open. You may call us at 969-7992 or 809-5267. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next week, this is Pastor Metz on behalf of Pastor Muirhead of Upper Room Community Church, wishing you all a blessed and godly evening.